Welcome to Nourish and Shine, where I talk with passionate leaders in the fields of nutrition, functional and integrative medicine, and wellness, providing inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and live a whole, vibrant life starting now. I am so excited to share with you today's episode on compassionate care. Today, I'm talking with Leanne DeFore. She's a nurse, a massage therapist, and a Reiki practitioner. She is one of the most kind and caring people I know, with so much compassion. She transitioned out of nursing into massage therapy, where she was able to really connect with her clients through physical touch as well as energy work. She supports people in truly a holistic manner, spending extra time with her clients in between visits. She is such a wonderful example of what holistic medicine or integrative medicine really looks like, and is just, again, such an inspiring person to me that I can't wait to share this interview with you. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to Nourish and Shine. Today I have Leanne DeFore with me. She's a registered nurse, massage therapist, and Reiki practitioner. Leanne, welcome.
Hi, Amy. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and, yeah, just to talk a little bit about what I do.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk with you. Would you mind starting off by just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I'd love to. Sure. Well, as Amy said in the beginning, I am a registered nurse. That was kind of my very first profession. And so I guess I kind of think about when that all started for me, and I kind of look back to when I was young. I come from a big family. I'm one of five children, and I always found that I had that niche to kind of help out my mom, help out my dad. And I kind of always felt like I had this sense of anticipation for what people needed, whether it was a hug or a helping hand. So I always kind of found myself being that person that kind of anticipated people's needs. I also watched my dad take care of both my grandparents, along with having his family of five. And he would take care of my grandmother after my grandfather was passed on, helping her get dressed and bathe her and put her to bed at night. And I always just thought that was so admirable and amazing that he could do that and also have a family that he had to take care of. He did get some help occasionally from a nurse who would come in during the day for my grandmother. And I used to always think about that and say, you know, wow, that would be interesting how someday maybe I could do something like that, where I could help someone like my father take care of their loved one and just make it a little bit easier. So time went on, I grew up, and I helped out when I could for my grandmother. And I think that just kind of was the first sense that maybe I was going to go into that caregiving field. So I started doing nursing assistant training when I was 16 until about 21. And then I went into nursing school and became an RN, and graduated from that, and kind of my career just kind of took off from there. And over the next 20 years, I chose different modalities in nursing, which, you know, made it very flexible for me to pick different areas of interest. And over the years, I did nursing home, hospital, home care, mental health, and then last being, I did education and triage. So it's been kind of a whirlwind of different things that I've tried in nursing, but enjoyed each and every one of those different avenues.
Wow, that's
just really fun.
Yeah. And it's so cool that it started really young, just by watching your father take care of your grandma and then seeing that nurse come into your home and help care for your grandma as well. So in nursing, what was kind of your favorite part of nursing? Or once you became a nurse, like I know you said you had a bunch of different roles, did you find one role specifically that you really enjoyed?
Absolutely. I think when I look back, I found the most joy when I did home care, because I could make that connection with people. I had the time to spend with people, get to know their families, get to know really what that core person was about, not just what the medical intervention I was performing. It was really that one-on-one connection. And that's what I found to be the most rewarding for me. I needed that connection with the person and not just the task. So I found that that was probably the area that I loved the most. And that's kind of where I think as I went through my other nursing careers and different hats that I tried on, I kept going back to that. I need to have that connection with people in order for me to feel that, I guess, gratification, or that I was doing something that was more all-encompassing. And I guess I didn't even really necessarily know so much about the holistic approach that we talk about now, but I knew that the medical interventions weren't really what was healing for the patient. It was the little things, the maybe giving the back rub or holding their hand or asking questions about their family and really connecting with the person and what was behind the person, not just the diagnosis or the treatment that I was providing.
That is so powerful. And again, so important. How did you come into massage therapy?
Good question. I kind of, you know, talking about the doing in-home care and home care nursing, I used to always have patients who would say, oh, you're the nurse that's on today. Could you give me a back rub? Because I knew that that's kind of what I wouldn't mind doing, you know, maybe a foot rub or a back massage. And so I always thought to myself, I don't know what I'm doing. And I guess at that point, it didn't really matter, but I was making that patient feel better. I was going to do it. So I thought to myself, someday, maybe, you know, when my kids get a little older, I could go back for massage and actually learn some different techniques to work with my patients. So that was kind of always in the back of my mind that, you know, someday I'll go back for that. And so I thought about it for a good 10 years. You know, my kids grew up, they got into high school, and then I thought, oh, wow, things had been changing in the medical field. And I still kind of felt like I was getting kind of pulled away from that one-on-one connection with my patient. And then the facility I was working for had gotten or received a grant regarding starting some of these integrative practices in our nursing field and the medical doctors, and trying to find ways to educate us on different modalities. And so I started taking a few classes through work, and then it just kind of spurred, like, okay, things have changed in the medical field. People are looking at these different modalities as being therapeutic. And so maybe it's the time for me to go back to school. And so I went and jumped right into massage school.
That's awesome. All of this. So how did you, I know you said you really loved giving people massages and kind of that connection. How did you then come into practicing Reiki as well?
Interesting. Well, once I went back to school for massage, they kind of give you a well-rounded different kind of taste of different other modalities. We did practice some reflexology in school, acupressure. We could take some essential oils, and then there was also energy work. And during massage school, I didn't really take any energy work or, you know, Reiki at the time. But once I graduated, it's interesting how once you start some of those modalities, you one door opens up, the next door opens up, and you kind of just keep walking through them. And so somewhere in Red Wing, there was a sign saying that they were going to teach a Reiki class. And I had already taken Healing Touch, which is another form of energy work, and Qigong, but it just wasn't connecting with me. And anyone who will tell you that works in energy work, like, you'll find one that kind of connects with you and you'll just know it's the right one. So I thought, well, I've tried to, just they haven't seemed to have really done my thing yet. And so I thought, well, you know what, maybe I'll try the Reiki. Maybe it's mine. You know, it's something that's going to connect with me. So I took the course, and it just was something that was like, yeah, this is the right one. And so it's just another form of energy work. And it was just really simple. And I thought, wow, I can use it on myself. I can use it on my clients. And so that's kind of how that started to be part of my practice.
Oh, that's awesome. And so to go back a little bit too, how did you kind of make this whole transition? So you were in nursing, then you went to massage school, and then kind of what happened after that?
Yeah, well, I was working part-time while I was doing massage school. And so I was doing a little bit of both. I was trying to get through the classes and then also continue my nursing career. And so I did that until, you know, one day where it was like, okay, I had started my practice kind of not independently at that point. I was working for a couple different places in town, just kind of dabbling with it. I wasn't really sure how that was going to work because I was so used to just showing up for my shifts and doing my 8 hours. And this was a whole different transition. It was, you know, finding clientele, building clientele. It wasn't just showing up for your shifts. So I thought, well, I'll dabble with it in some different areas. And then realize after I had started working at a couple different places that maybe I want to work for myself. And at that point, I wasn't sure, but I think when you go back to some of these service-oriented positions, such as massage or, for instance, say, a hairstylist, you kind of want that independence and you want to be able to have your own business, but it's quite frightening to even think that maybe you can do it on your own or, you know, is it going to be successful enough where I can walk away from my nursing job? So I worked, like I said, at a couple different salons trying to figure out the whole massage career path. And then eventually I was encouraged by a friend to, you know, open my own place. And it was frightening and scary, but exciting and passionate about, I was so passionate about my massage that I thought, you know what, if I can just get past that fear and take the leap. And I did. And it's been, I haven't looked back since. So it's been really exciting. And I think when you find your passion, if you channel that into your avenue or your dream or your next step, and you are patient with yourself, you can do it. You just have to kind of, you know, take a couple things each day and get them in place. And then you kind of find your way of being independent.
I love that. You have such an inspiring story. How do you feel that you were able to bring compassionate care into your work now as a massage therapist?
Well, so I provide massage therapy and I do some Reiki, and then I also do a senior foot care, which is still yet another piece to my the puzzle with my business. It's still a nursing piece. And so those three different services I provide, I find that I try to allow time, you know, prior to their appointment, probably more time than most people would take. I try to do a 30 minutes prior in between each of my clients, so I have time to kind of talk with the patient, see what they're, you know, they're needing, maybe take some time just to kind of get to know what their day has been like before they enter in my, you know, my office. I really like that time to connect with my patient or client and really let them kind of connect with me, because it's kind of an intimate setting when you trust someone to give you a massage or energy work or even, you know, senior foot care. I really want them to feel comfortable with me as their caregiver. And so I really allow time for them to kind of just connect with me. And then we kind of decide whatever their care plan will be for the day. And then, you know, at the end of the session too, I always meet with them and allow time for them to kind of ask questions and let me kind of tell them what I found. I like to give them things to work on if they're wanting that. I do have a fitness background. I taught fitness classes for 20 years. So I find that if I can be more all-encompassing and give them things to work on to help make those services more effective and last longer, then I think it's just kind of a better relationship. Because once again, I'm thinking of the whole person. It's That's not just the awesome. Task or the service.
Yeah. So can you give me an example of some of the things you might give someone to work on at home?
Perfect. So if they have maybe some back issues that we're working on, or and they're having some muscle tension or strain that needs to be strengthened after the massage, so we try to, you know, work the muscles, relax them, decrease the discomfort, and then I give them maybe some forms of exercise or strengthening. So whether that's a handout or I kind of walk them through. I mean, I've even been known to get on the floor with my yoga mat and give them some different poses to work on. Anything to help them kind of strengthen that area so that when they come back, they're going to see some progress. And I think, you know, I can give the massage, but then too, there's some tools I can also give them to help kind of maintain that and keep them strong. So that's what I try to do.
That's awesome. And that's really a true holistic approach or an integrative approach where you're bringing in so many different modalities to really address kind of the whole picture. So as far as the Reiki piece goes, how do you incorporate that? Do you do it separate from massage or along with massage, or how does that work in your
practice? Oh, that's a good question. Great question. I've kind of used a little bit of both. So I have sessions of just Reiki energy work, and then I also have found a way to do a partial combo. So people sometimes really enjoy that Reiki piece at the beginning of their session of massage. So we'll do a balancing or just kind of scan of the system, and then kind of do a quick integration of energy work and then maybe with the massage. So I've kind of incorporated it a different couple different ways. And even to some of my clients who really enjoy energy work, sometimes they'll come for massage. They'll say, you know, whatever you can add, it would be great. So if I feel like I just need to do a little energy work, I'll do so. And I'll just kind of spend some time on certain areas. And so they're kind of aware that, you know what, if you're fine with that, and I find an area that I need to work on, you might just see me, you know, you might just feel that I'm kind of in a holding pattern. So, and they're very well aware of what I'm doing. So I try to work with my patients to find the best combination of for their services and kind of get the most out of what they need with each session. So, you know, we'll even sometimes bring in my drum and we'll do some drumming, or we'll use the sound bowls, kind of whatever the day brings and whatever they're in need of. So they kind of know I have lots of different tools within my toolbox. And so sometimes they'll say, you know, I just need a little something different today. Or can you do the sound bowls for me at the end? Because I love that. Just kind of helps ground me. So just they know that I, you know, like to incorporate different things throughout the session. So my clients feel comfortable enough and we kind of work together to find a common goal.
Oh, I love that. And I love that you incorporate sound. So can you, for people who are unaware or unfamiliar with kind of the sound bowls and drumming, can you talk a little bit about how that works for people or kind of what it's doing?
Sure. So like sometimes I'll use the drum maybe at the beginning of the session just to kind of get that vibration up, or kind of even just a drumming of a clearing of the energy to kind of clear the body system. And so I'll kind of drum wash over the whole body and they'll feel the vibration kind of run through their body. And it's kind of a calming. It may sound loud, but actually it's kind of more of a calming vibration for most people. Sound bowls, I have some different tones that I use. And so I will maybe do a sound actually kind of where I kind of clink the sound bowl and kind of do it in a rhythmic way, or I actually play it in a, you know, around the edge of the sound bowl and it kind of takes it up a vibration and you can kind of feel that through the body. So people will say it's almost, you can kind of feel the soothing effect of that actual sound throughout their body. So it's kind of how I use them. Yeah.
I love that. I went to a sound bowl meditation when we were in Hawaii before, and it was one of my favorite meditations I've ever done. So it's so cool to hear that you use that in your practice. And I know just recently we were at a Reiki retreat together and we did some drumming there and did like the drum washing with a whole group of people washing one person. And it's just such a cool feeling.
It is. I think people are surprised how soothing it is to have that done to them. Yeah. So, and it can be very energetically, it can kind of bring you more energy, or it can kind of soothe you. It kind of depends on what you're needing to. So it's just interesting how sound, you can use sound in such a different ways of healing. And I think, you know, we radiate towards that as children, but then as we get older, we kind of get removed from those simple things, sound and playing an instrument or hearing an instrument, it can be very therapeutic. And I think sometimes we get ourselves removed from those wonderful things that we would have loved as children. So I just like to bring some of those things to my services.
I love that. And that's a really great point. I feel like there is that kind of awkwardness, even at the retreats where you start playing a drum and you're like, oh, am I doing it right? And it's like, you just hit the drum, like, especially when you're drumming with a group, but there is kind of that uncertainty. Whereas a child, you just dive right in and enjoy it. So it's nice to get back to that.
Correct. Yeah, I totally agree. So yeah, so I kind of have a little fun with it. And I think my clients or patients, they really enjoy that I bring different things to the table, and sometimes things that they maybe would never get to experience. We just started adding weighted blankets to our sessions also, where that's kind of a, they call it gravity blanket, or the heavy blankets that are used for people with autism or anxiety or depression. It's very soothing. And so we are now offering that too, as a sleep session after our massages, where you can have that comforting weighted blanket and extend your service just just to kind of come out of your massage and just have 30 minutes of not, you know, not being stimulated with the touch of massage, but just that relaxation and having that almost that hugging feeling of the blanket. So it just kind of continues that relaxation process. So.
Oh, I love that. You are doing so many cool things in your practice. I love how you just bring it all together and bring in so many different tools. So let's talk about foot care, because I know we talked about this beforehand and it's something you're passionate about and something I'm super interested in. Can you tell me how you got into doing foot care and what that looks like? Like what type of patients you're seeing and who benefit?
Absolutely. I think back to when I first kind of even thought of the whole idea was years ago when I did home care, and one of the nurses that used to work with our group, she loved to work with people's feet. And so it was one of those services where she would go out and kind of, because when we see a patient on a regular basis, don't always have time to get to all their full physical ADL needs, you know, activities of daily living. So she kind of just kind of capitalized on the fact that people really do need a service where someone can come and get their toenails clipped. And I thought, wow, someday that would be just a fabulous thing to add. If I ever went out on my own and if I ever got my massage therapy degree, I could still bring that in as a nurse to be a service. And so that happened years ago and I kind of always kept that in the back of my mind. And so when I went back for massage, it was one of those aha moments. This is something I can bring with me and still have that, bring that nursing with me when I go out on my own. And so I really do love feet, and I know I'm probably one of the few. I love the fact that our feet are so tiny for our bodies and that they carry us and they provide so much support for the rest of us. And yet they're so small. And I think sometimes, you know, when we get ourselves ready in the morning, we take our shower, we get, you know, dry ourselves off. It's the last thing down there far away from our hands. And so we don't get the attention that we probably could give, you know, that they want for as much work as they provide for us. And so they're kind of like the last thing that ever gets addressed. Sometimes we get them dried off, sometimes not so well, but they're such an important part to our complete foundation. I mean, I think to me, it's like the bricks in a home. It's like, it is your foundation. It is what supports you. It is what keeps you moving forward. And without that, I think then everything kind of suffers throughout the body. You know, if we can't walk well and we can't carry ourselves, lots of things suffer throughout the body. And so I just think there's such an important piece of us, and sometimes they're just overlooked. And so I just think they should be cared for. So that's kind of my thing. I think they're so important. So I thought, well, let's bring it to my practice. So there is a training that's for nurses in Eau Claire at the university, and it's tailored towards nurses to provide good foot care for seniors. And so I say seniors, but yet I see people probably anywhere from late 40s to probably in their 90s. So it's anyone who has a need for the basic toenail care. And so what I do with my patients or clients is that we do a nice foot soak in a tub of warm water. I use all the sterilizations that the hospitals would use. I'm really, really cautious about, you know, infection. So we soak them, we trim them down, I file them so that they're thinned out a little bit. I also apply lotion and do a nice foot and lower leg massage if appropriate. I do a little of an assessment too when they come in at first, just to kind of make sure that there's nothing that needs to be addressed by a podiatrist or maybe their primary provider. We really tailor towards seniors just for the fact that those are usually the people that kind of need that attention or that need assistance. They may have a medical diagnosis, maybe they're diabetic or on blood thinners, or maybe have some tremors, or maybe their vision is starting to decrease. And so lots of different reasons why people will come to us for that basic toenail care. And to me, it's very humbling to be able to care for somebody, you know, with their feet. Most people are embarrassed or uncomfortable with the way they look. And so to me, to provide a service that they can no longer maybe do for themselves is very humbling. And it's very, to me, very it's that one-on-one connection again that I crave as a healthcare provider. And it's a time where I can sit down with the client and get to know the person. They can talk to me about their family or what's going on in their life. Some of our, you know, our clientele maybe are living alone, and so they don't have that outlet, or they don't see family and friends as often as they'd like to. So spending that hour with me is just a chance for them to kind of reconnect with the community. Along with, I think it's so important that too, as we grow older, our physical touch becomes less. We maybe are, like I said, living on our own, and we don't have that. So connecting with an individual and someone caring for you is super important for that holistic approach. So that's what I enjoy. And it's my time where during the day where I'm not quiet, like I would be in a massage. So it's that time for me to reconnect with the community and my clients. So that's what I enjoy so much about the foot care that we provide.
That's amazing. And I have a feeling your clients are so lucky that you are able to care for them. So in doing foot care too, as far as like your training in massage, do you use acupressure at all? I know like the feet are really a big place for acupressure, right?
Right. So the reflexology points, there's a lot of points on the feet. So yeah, if I know something's going on with them, it's interesting by just touching the feet and knowing the different points, I can kind of sometimes find or see that maybe they're having some dysfunction in certain areas. So if I know they have a headache or if they have, you know, a shoulder issue, I'll may try to work on those points a little bit more for them. And then I'll say, oh, you know, that's really tender. And not to say, you know what, I'm just trying to work on that area for you because that connects with, and I try to educate them too. This is just another channel of energy that we work with to help ease that discomfort or that disease process maybe that's possibly going on with you. So it's just another way I can help you is kind of may you work in that area to help maybe relieve some of that discomfort if you're having the headache or what have you. So I try to educate them in that, and they're like, oh, I just never knew that. So it's kind of fun to educate people on different modalities too. And, you know, and if they need something further than that, you know, too, when I'm doing foot care, I always refer them back to their primary or the podiatrist, you know, too, if there's something that I find that obviously is outside of my realm or my scope of practice, you know, it's always, you know, I find different things, and sometimes they can't see it or they can't feel it. So, you know, it's like, oh, okay, they've checked in with me and I see that, you know, maybe there's an open area or something, or something that needs to be addressed. And so it's a good way for some of these seniors to get help that way too, because I catch something, you know, some of the things that they can't see or can't feel. Due to maybe some neuropathy or just maybe vision changes. They can't see their feet well. So yeah.
Absolutely. And so for people who maybe aren't seniors, but are now like, oh my gosh, I never touch my feet. Like what should the people who never touch their feet or look at their feet that can touch their feet, what are some simple things that just everyone could do for better foot care?
Well, and I think that's really a great question. I just try to encourage, if people aren't really crazy about their feet, you know, it's good to just know that one, you should clean them if you can, you know, whether it's in a tub or a shower, whichever you prefer. I always try to tell people to kind of, if they can, clean them with a gentle soap. And then we always should be inspecting our feet, you know, especially the bottoms of our feet, in between the toes. If people can't get down there to dry them, I always say a nice little technique I've learned along the way is taking your blow dryer and, you know, maybe sitting at the edge of the toilet and just kind of blow drying into the toes so it gets nice and dry in between the toes, using a cool setting if you can't reach. And then this really helps kind of decrease that moisture between the toes so you don't have skin breakdown or fungus developing because you're not getting them dried properly. And then two is keeping the toenails trimmed so you're not having that pushing up on your shoes causing discomfort. Otherwise, you know, too ill-fitting shoes because your toenails are too long are going to cause you to have, you know, different gait problems as you walk. It can cause blisters or calluses. So it's really important to keep those toenails trimmed as well as you can. And if you can't do it, we're more than happy to help you. You don't have to be a senior. We've had plenty of people come to us. Maybe they had a hip replacement or they've got some knee issues and they can't just get that foot up to a range where they can trim them well. And so we have specialized tools. They're not just your regular clippers, so it makes it very simple for us to trim those. And so we're more than happy to work with people if they can't get down there and they can't do really good foot care. So yeah, the biggest thing is, you know, if you can, is try to keep them clean, dried, and then trimmed.
Awesome.
And then, like I said, inspecting the feet is really important because sometimes there's areas of breakdown or even too looking for moles within the toenails and also moles on the feet because those aren't an area where they see sun. So, you know, being aware of what's on the bottoms of your feet and making sure that there's not anything concerning when it comes to skin cancer or even cancer within the toenail. So,
wow, I would never even think of that. I've never heard of. So you can get cancer within the toenail.
Correct. So that's another thing we kind of look for. If there's a blackened area to, you know, we always refer them on to have that looked at. If there's no trauma, they can't pinpoint it to a trauma incident, then that's something that they need to have looked at. Yeah. And then too, like, even any kind of moles on our feet, it's not, you know, especially on the bottoms or in between the toes, it's not an area usually where you get a whole lot of sun exposure. So just keeping an eye on those and make sure that those aren't changing.
Wow, that's really good to know. So this is totally kind of changing course a little bit, but recently I interviewed Valerie Liss, who teaches a simplified tapping technique. And I know you took her course recently. Can you talk to me about that and how you're using tapping as well?
Absolutely. So I took, and I don't even know how I got hooked up with her classes. This is that whole story of when one door opens, another one continues to open too, and you just keep going through these doors. I think, I don't know how I saw the tapping class, but I did take her class at Normandale and it was amazing. So it's a simplified way of, it's called, you know, EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And it's using, once again, that kind of that meridian properties of the acupressure or puncture, different points that they use in Chinese medicine. And it's really kind of evoking the emotion and then doing the tapping series to neutralize that emotion and working with that subconscious that kind of holds sometimes that emotion and then can cause some, you know, some physical symptoms that correlate with that too. So I haven't quite integrated into my practice yet, but I've been practicing on myself and just some close friends and families, and I'm hoping to be able to use it in the fall and do some tapping classes and teaching people how they can learn this self-help tool to use on themselves, and then possibly too having one-on-ones with my clients who want to kind of delve a little bit deeper and have a little bit more one-on-one direction on how to work through some different emotional issues that they're dealing with.
Oh, I love that. That's a great way to incorporate it.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I know you mentioned a few times that you have your own business. Can you talk to me a little bit more about your business and how you kind of, I know you mentioned how you kind of got started, but maybe how it's evolved and kind of what your kind of pearls of advice would be for other people maybe thinking about having a business?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, I kind of started off just myself, and that really was kind of my goal, is just to be by myself and have a small little practice, and it kind of has evolved. I think I started out in a one-room little tiny office, and it'll be 5 years in August. I had a small office, a little bathroom, and it was just myself, and at that point, I was just offering massage, and it's kind of evolved into, you know, now I have two other massage therapists that work along with me, and I also just brought on another registered nurse to help with the senior foot care. So there's a total of us, four of us in our office, and they're all independent contractors. I really wanted everyone to kind of have that freedom, just like I did, to be able to build their business and to be their own boss. And so I feel blessed that I've been able to kind of share my success with them. And so we all work together as a team to kind of provide the wellness to our community, and yet in a team, but yet independent manner. So yeah, it's been just quite the journey, and it's been so exciting to be able to share that with other great practitioners. And at this point, we don't have any ideas of expanding anymore, but I said that in the beginning too, that I was just going to be myself. So I think I just have given it up to the universe, and if things change, they will just happen as they come. So I'm just really feeling, you know, I feel really blessed that things have been successful and, you know, we've all been able to do what we love and provide good quality care and education to our community.
I love that. And you seem to have this whole theme of trusting that inner voice, like throughout your life. Is there anything particularly like really started that, or how did you come into really like listening to that voice?
That's a good question. And I think when I started off in nursing, I was so rigid and black and white because it just was so structured in the medical field. And so it was a really transition for me to not always have all the answers. And when I was trying to figure out what was going to make, why I was transitioning out of nursing and into my own business, I really realized that for me, I wanted to be able to be the best caregiver I could be. And sometimes it's being a little less rigid and really, really listening to yourself to what it is that I want to provide. And for me, it was compassionate care and being that one-on-one with my client or patient or however you want to call it. And so in order for me to do that, stepping out on my own was probably the most beneficial for myself. But when you do that, you have to realize that things are unpredictable and you have to kind of sometimes just trust in that what you believe in is going to work out. And so that was really a hard concept for me. But I found is the more I did that, the more successful and easier it became. So when people tell you that, you know, what you put out there is really what comes back to you, it really started to show when I just kind of let go of all that control or rigidness. And so I've kind of learned as I've gone and it's been quite the journey, but yet I feel like I don't have all the answers and I'm okay with that. And it actually is more comforting than having all the answers. So it's been a leap of faith the last 5 years, and each decision I make within regards to my business and sometimes not knowing makes me stronger as a person, as a caregiver. So it's just been really exciting. I don't know. It's just a total different mindset. And I think it just, once you start believing in the passion that you have and allowing it to happen, it will happen.
That is amazing. And what an inspiring and beautiful story and way to like live your life. I think that's just a lot of people, I think, will take a lot away from that. So thinking about nourish, what does the word nourish mean to you?
I would say nourish. I think that's just such an encompassing word. I think that goes back to that whole holistic approach that we talk about. Nourishing is not just with food, it's with our mind, it's our spirit, it's our emotions, it's our what we do physically and what we do mentally. And I don't know, I just think it's such an encompassing word, nourish. I think we need to have all different facets to feel nourished within. And so that's kind of, I guess that's what I would say. It's just an all-encompassing word where it's that multifaceted, you know, mind, body, spirit. That's what it reminds me of, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you had one like pearl of advice or piece of wisdom to give to people as far as their health goes, what would that be?
Learn to love yourself and everything else will follow.
That's beautiful. And what's one thing you're really consistent about doing for your health each day?
I love to exercise. So for me, that's kind of my outlet. I was just at a conference and it was, they talked about exercise as kind of stirring that whole engine. And I never thought of it like that. I guess I've always loved exercise, but it's kind of like stirring your body and just kind of awakening it. And so if you don't think of it as exercise, it's more of that kind of starting your engine and kind of getting things revved up for the day. And so I think that's what I've always done and not really known. That's what I would, it's a more elegant way of putting it, but it's really true. I think it's whatever that movement is to kind of get that engine running and get the fluid moving is super important to kind of start your day with. And so I try to do something every day, whether it's a walk or stretching or, you know, a hike. For me, I said earlier that I used to teach classes in a health club, and I loved that at the time. But now I find that I need that connection too with nature, and I need to be outside. So that's really new for me in the last probably 7 years. I need to have that connection with nature, and I think it really is grounding for me. So I try to get a little bit of that each day too, just whether it's out with my walk or even just putting my feet in the grass. Anything to kind of connect with nature just makes me feel much more grounded than I didn't in the past. So yeah, I would say exercise is key for me.
I love that. And that's, you bring up grounding. That's something that's come up in the last few episodes I've done, is people talking more and more about grounding. Can you talk a little bit about kind of your practices for grounding and maybe anything else you do to ground as well, and maybe why it's important to ground?
Yeah, well, I think too, I just think with the world we live in, everything is so high-paced and so, freight train, everyone's moving and talking and doing at such a fast pace. For me, even when I was in nursing, it was, very task-orientated. And I think sometimes you just get so busy doing that you forget to just stop and to reconnect and be quiet and find that inner peace. And so for me, grounding is really just stopping whatever it is that I'm doing and kind of putting my feet to the ground, making myself really well aware of what I'm trying to do and stopping the stimulation that's around me and just really reconnecting with myself, my breathing, and just taking that time to be quiet and not move. And it's very peaceful. And I find that the older I get, I thoroughly enjoy just finding that quiet time. And that for me, it's kind of grounding myself back to what, back to myself. And it's really not something I used to be comfortable with because I was such a doer and a taskmaster. But now I know I need that for myself and for me to be able to be focused in a more compassionate way. So that's what I try to teach too to my clients if they feel overwhelmed, and just teaching them little techniques where they can kind of find themselves. And it doesn't, people say meditation and sometimes they're overwhelmed with the word meditation, but it can be as simple as just, going to a quiet room and just finding that inner self and listening and just being quiet and being comfortable being quiet.
I love that. You have such an inspiring and beautiful story and so many great words of wisdom. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I think you're one of the most kind, caring, and compassionate people I've ever met. So I really appreciate you spending time with us. Thank you so much for listening to Nourish and Shine. I hope that you enjoy this episode and that you'll leave me a review on iTunes so that more people can hear the podcast. I'd also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I would love to hear your questions, so please send them my way. Also, you can check out my website. It's amysopola.com. I hope that today's interview provided you with some inspiration and practical advice to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, optimize your health, and to live a whole, vibrant life. Please join me again next week for another amazing interview. Have a wonderful week. The information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only. It's not intended to diagnose or treat any disease or condition. Please do not apply any of this information without first speaking with your medical provider.